Hello, welcome to Clan Chat as we bring you more interviews from around Glasgow Clan after another busy week at the club. I'm Craig Anderson, and coming up this week we catch up with the latest player to be joining in Matt Haywood's testimonial, Adam Walker, as he looks forward to the big game in February. We also talk to Mr. Haywood himself and get some reflections on the week just passed, including that excellent midweek win over the Cardiff Devils. We also get a little bit crazy having three interviews in one, and we chat to the three amigos of Free Sport's excellent television coverage, Aaron Murphy, Paul Adey and Chris Ellis, who all chatted to me after Wednesday's game. And as a special treat, following his surprise and fantastic comeback, we hear from the Elite League's version of Michael Buffer, our very own Kevin McCoskrey, after his period of illness that meant you had to listen to my dulcet tones in the arena in the last few weeks. And as if that wasn't enough, there's a Clan conundrum coming your way as well. Welcome to Clan Chat.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
It's time for your Clan conundrum, and this Sunday sees Sheffield Steelers come to town for the first time this season, and in their ranks is former Clan forward Brendan Connolly, returning to this part of Scotland for the first time since leaving to join the Steelers in the summer. Our question for you this week is a simple one. While playing for the Clan last season, how many points did Brendan Connolly pick up against the Sheffield Steelers last season? How many points did Brendan Connolly pick up against the Sheffield Steelers while playing for Glasgow Clan last season? Answer to come at the end of the show.
Hi, this is Matthew Roy. You're listening to Clan Chat.
We've got three games to recap for you, and we'll start with Saturday's visit by Fife Flyers that saw the Clan end up back on top of the Elite League after a 5-2 win, claiming a third victory of the season over the Kirkcaldy side. Matt Becker, back in action after his long spell out through injury, was back on the score sheet in the first 90 seconds of the game, but Flyers levelled through Danik Gauthier in the second period before Kyle Just put them ahead on 48 minutes and 34 seconds. Clan didn't panic, and Matt Poofle netted to restore parity shortly after. From here, Glasgow seemed to find another gear, as Nolan Laporte put Clan in front again, before late strikes from Chad Rau and an empty netter from Lyndon Springer secured the win. As good as that was from a Clan perspective, the night got off to the best possible start, as a familiar face made his return after a few weeks on the sidelines. And I don't mean Matt Becker.
Good evening!
That's right, game night announcer Kevin McCoskrey was back on the mic to take over from me, and it's definitely back in its rightful place. And what a reception he got from the Purple Army, not to mention the way he literally announced his return. I think my ears are still ringing. I caught up with Kevin post-game on Saturday, and I started by asking how it felt to get the first one under his belt.
Feeling pretty good, actually, and that was, you know, a bit of a concern, because, as you know, we kind of kept things open that if I was feeling good enough to do the game tonight, we would go ahead, and if not, I would just be a spectator. So, yeah, I'm really happy to get through the night and feeling pretty good at the end of it.
What a welcome for you.
That was insane. I don't think I'll ever forget that. far more than I ever expected. So, got to say a huge thanks to the Purple Army, not just for the welcome they gave me tonight coming back, but also the messages of support, you know, all the cards, emails, calls that I've had over the past 4 weeks or so. And I have to say, you know, it's really just been a fantastic example of how hockey in this country is so supportive. You know, I've had messages from every team in the league, from media, from referees. It's been absolutely, you know, incredible the amount of support I've had. So, yeah, it's been an interesting 4 weeks. some good, some bad, but, you know, those messages from all over the place really helped get me through some tough times.
It's incredibly humbling, isn't it? I've had it myself, maybe not to that kind of scale where maybe things aren't going quite well and all of a sudden you're getting all sorts of messages from everybody. It's quite breathtaking.
It is, you know, and when you're in those kind of early days, and there'll be a lot of people in the fan base that have been through the same thing and know exactly how it is, it can be quite an emotional time. It's a bit of an emotional roller coaster, and all those messages of support really do help you through the tough days.
So what have you done the last 4 weeks, obviously, other than recuperate? How did you manage Saturday night? Are you right up to date with Strictly, for example? Are you keeping an eye on that?
Yeah, and a lot of daytime TV as well. Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality of it. For the first couple of weeks, it is just a case of resting. And then it's about trying to build your strength back up. So, you know, I have been out and about a lot more the past couple of weeks. I've probably come back to the hockey slightly earlier than my wife would have preferred. Yep. But I was feeling good about it, and you know, came up midweek just to meet everybody and to do a bit of a trial run, and everything felt good. So yeah, I'm glad I did come back tonight, and you know, it's a night I won't forget in a long time.
I'll admit, standing on the ice with you at that moment when I announced you back, I was blown away by the huge cheer you got as well. I mean, yeah, you really gave it something when you announced your return. That was quite a way to do it.
Yeah, well, there's no point in doing it half-hearted. I had to try, to try it out. But no, once again, I just have to say I was absolutely blown away by the response from the fans out there. It was probably the best lift I could have, and it's probably what got me through the night.
I mean, from my experience, obviously having covered for you these last few weeks, and it's been a pleasure doing so. For all you're basically staying in one position quite a lot, and you're having to keep an eye on everything. It's quite draining. It can be quite tiring for you at the end of a night, I've discovered.
Yeah, there's a lot of focus required, and you're coordinating a lot of stuff that's going on, to the extent that you end up not seeing a lot of the game.
Yep, I've noticed that.
But you know, it's a job I love doing, and yeah, it was just great to be back in it again tonight.
That's it. So that's you now. First game under your belt, and then it's onwards and upwards from here.
Yeah, that's the first one done. It's a kind of busy week because we've got a midweek game as
well. Of course,
well.
Yeah.
So it was
really after one back in.
Yeah, it was good to get that one under the belt, and a bit like a lot of things in my life at the moment, it's about getting the confidence back that you can do things, and hopefully I managed to get through tonight.
Hey, this is Jordan Haywood, and I listen to Clan Chat.
Kevin McCoskrie, the man with the mic, and back in place. Good to hear from him. Our recap of the week continues, and we'll keep it brief as Glasgow went to Coventry Blaze on Sunday. It was something of a shock to the system as Clan were trounced 9-2 by Danny Stewart's side at the Sky Dome on a night to forget. If that in itself wasn't strange enough, Clan were still top of the Elite League table, a point clear of Sheffield Steelers and Belfast Giants, who lost both their games on Sunday. Blaze were 6 up before Zach Fitzgerald's side knew what was happening. Then Nolan Laporte pulled one back late on in the second period. Lyndon Springer got Glasgow's other goal as Coventry ran riot with Luke Ferrara scoring a hat-trick. There was no time to feel sorry for themselves, and the focus immediately returned to the visit of Cardiff Devils coming to Brayhead Arena for Wednesday's big Elite League clash, which was shown live to the nation on Free Sports. The fact there was an attendance of almost 3,000 was impressive as well, as Clan lengthened their lead at the top of the table to 3 points, taking a 6-3 success, and it was the first time Devils have lost in Glasgow in 9 visits. Mike McNamee opened the scoring in the early stages for Cardiff, but that was cancelled out by Nolan Laporte, scoring his third goal in as many games by the end of the period. Clan took the lead through Rasmus Bjerrum, who then turned provider for Craig Peacock to make it 3-1 on the power play, and what a goal that was. Devils hit back through Blair Riley, with Matt Pope equalising for the visitors with 9 minutes to go. But a 5-on-3 power play gave Clan the opportunity they needed, as Mathieu Roy made it 4-3 before empty net goals from Matt Poufal, and Travis Earhart really topped off a good night's work. Post-game, head coach Zach Fitzgerald was a happy man.
Really good, really good. No, they're a good team. You know, we knew they were going to come hard. We played really well down there. We knew they probably wanted to come up here and kind of do it back to us. But no, I thought we played a solid game throughout. I think we stuck to the plan. We never let anything bother us. They threw what they had at us, and we weathered it, and we took our chances. We went to the net, some good goals, and power play got back on the board there. Penalty kill was really good, and I thought, you know, killing like always is really good for us, and overall good game.
Some reaction as well from the game on Sunday, a 9-2 defeat in Cardiff, Coventry. Did you count on the guys to give you a reaction tonight?
I knew they would. You can see the hurt after that game the other night. You can see, you know, it bothers them because they care about each other. I knew they'd come out good. I didn't really have any worries about that. We got to believe in here, and I think every single one of those guys should, and that's a good indicator tonight of what type of team we are. So there's no worries, no stress in here.
Took a little bit slow in getting started. I thought Cardiff got the first goal at that point, but from then you guys found your rhythm, and Cardiff found that hard to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's tough to go down one goal in your own arena, but, you know, we just stuck with it. Try not to let us bother us and, you know, find a way to get that back. I mean, we got her back in the first, so, you know, we get that confidence back going in the second. I thought it was a good period in the second. You know, we're a relentless team, so it's you know, there's no stress, like I said. So when you play that way and you just, you know, you're having fun with the game, it's going to happen if you stick with the process.
You mentioned about the power play being back on track today. Is that something you've worked on the last few days?
We haven't had a lot of time to work on that, to be honest, but we just tried to talk about shooting that puck, getting the puck to the net. You know, eventually it's going to open up lanes, it's going to open up those passing lanes. I think at times we were trying to make too pretty plays and it wasn't quite working. Sometimes it does work, but if you establish the shot mentality, it starts to open lanes up. So I think that was kind of our main view at it. You know, we knew they were going to come hard on their PK forecheck. We knew exactly what they were going to do tonight, so we had a plan going in there. So we were able to gain the zone well. I thought we did really, really good on that. Our breakouts were, I think we were almost 100% on those. They might have broken up once or twice, but we knew what they were going to throw at us there. And then when we get in the zone, you know, we were dangerous. We're shooting the puck and made some good plays, and happy about that.
Mathieu Roy got the game-winning goal, that 5-on-3 power play, coming at the right time as well. How big a moment was that?
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. These guys have been, you know, a little bit snake-bitten on there, like you've mentioned, and to get that going again is huge for us. You know, special teams have been a threat for us all year. It's a weapon, especially in this league when there's a lot of penalties. So to be able to get on the board again and get those guys going is huge.
On to Fife on Saturday, a three-point lead at the top of the league as well. Life's quite good at the moment.
Can't complain at all. No, it's really good. And then, you know, you go into Fife, it's a tough arena to go into. It's a great rivalry. And, you know, the boys get up for that game, so it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm Craig Peacock, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Zach Fitzgerald after Wednesday's 6-3 win over Cardiff Devils. Still to come on Clan Chat, we'll talk to the captain, Matt Haywood, and hear from Adam Walker, who is taking part in Matt's testimonial. Plus, we'll solve the Clan conundrum too. Back to Wednesday's game, and not only was it a busy night for the players, the off-ice staff, the commentary teams, the coaches, everybody basically, the Free Sports production team were putting in a shift to beam the game live to homes up and down the country. Afterwards, I was able to catch up with three of the main players of the excellent coverage and get some thoughts and insights. Right, I'm joined by the Free Sports triumvirate, the three-pronged attack themselves, Aaron Murphy, Paul Adie and Chris Ellis, just to reflect on the game here in Glasgow tonight. Glasgow Clan winning 6-3 against Cardiff. Start with you, Murph, as the head commentator of the game. What did you make of what you saw out there tonight?
Yeah, a really good performance, and obviously coming off a 9-2 loss in Coventry, expected some sort of reaction from a first-place club and certainly got it. Three power play goals, killed off four penalties against, dominant in the faceoff dot over 60%. I don't think Zach Fitzgerald could have got sort of any more of those attention to details ticked off, and was really impressed with the defenseman Haywood. Matt Haywood I was impressed with, yep, as well. This is his testimonial year, but the defenseman Haywood as well, really good. Chad Rao was under the skin as well of the Devils. So I think top to bottom, really impressive performance and impressive as well. People say, oh, TV ruins our gate. Well, it's amazing what a sellout on TV can do for your marketing. So a magnificent situation all around this evening.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, you were alongside Murph all the way through the commentary as well. Cardiff, they're not really firing all cylinders right now.
I think a little bit. They got a few players who are struggling to score goals right now, a couple of their key guys. So once they, you know, heat up, I think you'll see the Devils win a few more hockey games. They didn't play a bad game. They had some great opportunities in the third period to tie the game up. They just weren't able to finish those plays off. So it's not all doom and gloom. It's always, you know, right now Glasgow are in first place, and they're playing at home. So, I mean, it's not going to be easy coming in here to take any points. We saw that tonight. But what really impressed me about the Glasgow Clan was how well they played defensively, especially their defensive zone coverage was excellent. That compete level was there each and every shift. And if you do that defensively, you'll always have a chance to win any game.
Chris, you were right in the middle of the two coaches. What was the atmosphere like down there between those two?
Oh, it is interesting. I mean, I was intrigued by Zach Fitzgerald, and I know you talked to him on the post-game show about how angry he got, but you also mentioned Murph in the game. He was quite calm, and I was surprised about how calm he was throughout the game. But I guess for much of the game, it was going Clan's way. On the other hand, Andrew Lord was pretty angry. I know he was angry in the second period. He was just unhappy at the way Cardiff were turning over pucks and allowing like 3-on-2 breaks, 3-on-1 breaks, and it was very un-Cardiff-like for a period in that second session. So I think he was disappointed, but we saw such a great game because Cardiff showed why they are so good, and they came back into the game to level at 3-3. They're a dangerous team, but Clannan, we were talking before we started here, they scored in a big moment. Would the Clan have won the game if they hadn't had the 5-on-3? We'll never know. But that doesn't matter. I mean, that's not saying Clan didn't deserve their victory. They so did. But they had that moment where you thought, they got to score here. And they did. And they're just kind of ruthless. I've seen them twice in Nottingham already. And I thought then they came and played. And everyone knew what they were doing. Everybody was focused. You could see that they were reacting well, and Fitzgerald is making real, real inroads very early on, and it's great to see Clan atop. I mean, Cardiff are gonna have a go, aren't they? They're going to be there or thereabouts. But Clan are certainly looking great, and it'll be great to see them take a bit of a push for the title deep into the season.
Murphy, we talked about how good a game this was. How do you think the fans at home will have enjoyed it?
Well, because it was the only game, I mean, that was one thing we said. It was a good game, Fife Belfast on October 30th, but I mean, all teams were playing, there was a couple of webcasts, so this is the ideal situation, is that you got one game, and it's a good game, 1-4, right, top of the table versus the defending playoff champions, and there's no other games, there's no other webcasts, so you get all eyes on the prize. It's a sold-out building here. This building always looks good on TV because it's a modern, state-of-the-art place, and I think people at home, you'd have to enjoy that. It was physical, it was fast. There was like ex-KHL and NHL players on display. Two of the best goalies in the league, two very good coaches, and two teams that are out for or want silverware. And I think if you're sat at home on a cold Wednesday in November, that's an ideal scenario. I mean, just a couple of cold beers and your feet up and you're good to go.
Talking a wee bit about the Clan, Paul, you're the only man out of all four of us that's qualified to talk about what it's like to win a league title. Are Clan the real deal from what you've seen?
Yeah, I think they're a really good team. And what's impressed me is the fact that, you know, Zach Fitzgerald has taken the time to coach some young British players, and he's made them earn their ice time, and they've delivered for him. And I think it's important. If they want to win the Elite League title, they have to have a fourth line that can go play some shifts. Don't have to play every shift on a regular basis, but they can play 2-3 shifts a period, which allows your team to get into that third period, and then your main guys, when you really need them, when you need their legs in the third period to bring a game back or go and win a game, they'll have the energy to do it. And Zach Fitzgerald's been around, you know, he's played at a high level, and he knows what it takes. And I was really impressed with how well those three guys played on that line, Henderson, Howland, who's the other guy?
Musil.
They impressed me how well they played, those three guys. And that could be a big key and in their success moving forward, the fact that they can play with four lines.
Chris, you've been around this league a long time in a variety of different roles. It's bonkers this season, isn't it?
It's great, and we said this, I think, on the Facebook Live before the game. The distance between top and 6, 7, 8 isn't massive, and normally even by now you're beginning to see a bit of a gap. But it's fantastic. Clan being top, it's brilliant for them. It's brilliant for this franchise. Coventry have been on a great run. I mean, Coventry have had some bad times in recent years, and you can see that whole club has felt it. But they're energised this year. And I'm so pleased for someone like Danny Stewart and Andy Buxton there at Coventry, Mike Cowley. It's great to see them. And will they challenge for the league? Probably not. But just to see them competing and beating teams, I mean, you know, they're winning home games regularly. And that's the thing for Coventry. Skydome used to be a difficult place to go, and it's turning into that once more. And teams are just beating each other. I mean, I know it's kind of a cliche, but anyone is beating anyone on any given night. Guildford have winning games at home. Manchester have turned over, what, Sheffield three times, I think, already. Yep. So it's fantastic. And wouldn't it be great? I mean, you know, the so-called Big Four, Nottingham, Sheffield, Cardiff and Belfast. It'd be great to see another team just maybe win the league this year. Maybe is that a tough ask? I don't know.
Be in the top two or three.
But even the top two or three. Of course, win a cup. We've seen Coventry win the playoffs not so long ago. Right. But it would be great to see. Guildford came so close to the Challenge Cup. But more than ever, these teams are winning games and winning games by right. It is crazy, and it's great, and long may it continue.
And Murph, another trip to Glasgow. I know you enjoy coming here. What do you enjoy most about this particular arena?
It's not the commentary position. I think it's
seeing you, Craig.
It's the people.
You'll say that.
Gareth and his team were always good to us. When Finner was here, we were welcomed into the office with open arms for a chat. And look, we all love talking about hockey. We'd go in with Finner, talk about the NHL. We went in with Zach earlier. Zach's daughter is around the same age as my daughter. You have a chat, you catch up. It's not just hockey, it's life, it's how you do. And we know these guys through various guises, players, coaches. So it's the people when you come here. It's certainly the restaurants out on the concourse. The food is much better here in the mall than it is in some venues. But no, it's the people. And the fans. I think someone did throw a cookie at Paul 80 earlier, and a puck nearly hit me in the pregame show, and a guy up here called for it, and I threw it to him, and he missed it, and it knocked his buddy's beer over. So there's always some fun to be had at the Brayhead Arena. So, no, it's the people. And over the years, whether it's Finner or Zach Fitzgerald, we've always been welcome. Gareth Chalmers is always very good to us. So, yeah, I think it's just the overall experience at Brayhead Arena. And, look, you guys had a really good game tonight. I mean, it's one thing to come here, and if it's not a great game, if it's a 7-0 game either way. But, I mean, I know it's 6-3, but it's a 4-3 hockey game with two empty netters. So it was a good game right down to the wire.
And Paul, of course, you know, a man that knows the terrain of hockey very well indeed. This title race, we spoke about it earlier, about, you know, about Clan being the real deal. Have you ever seen a title race like this in all your years?
Well, I mean, it's been a lot of years, so it would be hard to...
I
mean, what is good, and it's like the guy said, is that you want to see other teams competing for the title, not just the Big Four. And I think if you see Coventry challenging, you see Brayhead challenging, and whoever else challenging, it's good for the league. You know what I mean?
It's correct, isn't it?
And what's that?
Glasgow.
Yeah,
I do it all the time. I mean, I probably did it tonight.
We're in Brayhead Arena.
Good. You're right. I think it's good. It's good for the league. You want to see that competition.
Parity is important.
Parity is really
important.
You
can't have gimme games.
But you know what? If you look at the NHL, they obviously have a wage cap system that really works. But any one of those 16 teams that get into the playoff can win the Stanley
Absolutely.
Cup. And because of that competition, it's become it's been a global game, but it's become a really exciting league to watch, especially when those playoffs start. I mean, it's not a bad game, and this is what I think in this league. If you have that, also, it's good for the fans, it's good for the league. That competition level. There's no weak teams this year either. I mean, we saw Edinburgh a few years where you pretty much knew you were going to win when you played them. That's not a good thing for the league. And what I like about the league this year is the fact that the competition level is there, and it's really good, really good.
Chris, you got speaking to at least one of the coaches tonight. It was Andrew Lord, I think you spoke to. What was the mood coming from him?
After the game?
Yeah.
Well, these guys spoke to Zach, who was obviously really happy. Andrew, he saw a lot of good in his side. And so I guess he's got that to take away with it. But he was disappointed. He said before the game he wanted to see 5 or 10% more. And then I asked him if he got it, and I don't think he felt he had. I mean, you know, there was just a few lapses. And I feel like deja vu. I think people were writing Cardiff off this time last year, and they came close. What, the final day of the season? Right. They could have won it if they'd gone to Coventry. So you can't write Cardiff off. It's been a bit of an indifferent start, but you look across their roster.
They'll just sign Sean Morrison. They'll be fine.
they'll come good. But he wasn't a happy chappy tonight. But that's him as a coach. He's never happy when they lose a game.
That's champions, right? You always want to do better.
And that's it. He drives and drives. They won the league title. They wanted to win it again and again and again. So they'll come good again, and they'll be there down the stretch, I'm sure.
Right, finish off, Murph. What's coming up on Free Sports we can look out for?
What is it, the 13th? So in a week's time, November 20th. My math is good after talking for 3.5 hours. November 20th, Coventry hosting Manchester in the Challenge Cup play-in game for a right to get through to the quarterfinals. So we're live next week, 7 p.m. from Skydome. 7:30 face off, the usual cast of characters. That's actually going to be a good game.
And the picks afterwards too.
And the picks after, we'll have that. Wow, that's for someone smarter than me. I have no idea how we're going to do that. But look, I know. You know what? I'm going to say this, right? People say, and they give out about the league, and I've heard people say, oh, this is ridiculous and all that, and maybe it is, but that's the system that's in place. And for Coventry and Manchester, it doesn't matter if some people think it's a shambles or think the Challenge Cup has been a little bit higgly-piggly this year with teams playing different amounts of games and all that. It's still basically a game 7 for both those teams, and both of those teams will go in there with that attitude. So everyone else should have that attitude. It's our first knockout game of the season, really.
Yeah,
we've got the
game.
Challenge Cup final live. We've got the playoff grand final live, and so this is our first sort of foray into knockout hockey. So whether you like the format or not, it doesn't matter, because that's the format, right? You might not like paying taxes, but that's the format. So you might not like it, but tune in next week. It'll be a great game, because both those teams, it's an opportunity for another gate, another game, and for Coventry, another home game. It's an important point they got against Guildford to host it. And I'm sure Finner is going to want to beat Stewie, so I think it's going to be a great game. So we're live next Wednesday, November 20th from 7.
Fellas, thank you so much for your time. Pleasure catching up, and thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you, buddy.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer, and you're listening to The Clan Chat.
That was Aaron Murphy, Paul Adey and Chris Ellis, the Free Sports team, all chatting to me after the game on Wednesday. We're now leaving the production suite and heading to the Glasgow Clan locker room to get a view from in there after what's been quite a week in terms of results and another couple of tricky games to come this week as Glasgow head to Fife on Saturday, then host Sheffield Steelers on Sunday. Who better to bring us this unique perspective than the captain himself, Matt Haywood? And the first thing I asked is to sum up how it feels to be 3 points clear at the top of the table.
Yeah, I think that game against Cardiff was a big win for us. I said on the TV, it was sounded crazy, but it was a bit of a must win because both them and Belfast have games in hand, and if we want to challenge those teams for the league, then we have to win those games. It looks like there's a bit of separation now, but obviously if they win their games in hand, I think they both go, or at least Belfast got a point in front, so all we've got to do is take it game by game and just try and keep winning every game as it comes.
Talk about last night's game. The first few minutes, Clan seemed a little bit flat-footed at first. Cardiff got the opening goal, and then you guys just seemed to hit your rhythm. Was that the case?
I think we were the better team until they scored, and then it took us. I think it kind of hit us a bit hard, like you say. I think Fitzy did mention that after the first period that we kind of went a bit flat, and the goal obviously from the power play. I think it was Portsea, the first goal really injected a lot of belief into the team, and I think after that there was only really one winner.
And the power play was on form last night as well. That was good to see.
Yeah, it's always nice to see. It's always it's good when those guys are doing what they do, and they're obviously all very talented players, and they're there for a reason. And last night it was nice to watch. It's nice, and it's definitely nicer to watch than being on a PK. That's for sure.
Now, being around the arena last night, of course, you know, seen plenty of smiling faces among you guys, obviously delighted by the result last night. How different was it on Sunday coming off the ice at the Sky Dome after such a heavy defeat?
Yeah, obviously it's a night and day situation. Sunday away in Coventry is obviously the exact opposite of how we want to play and how we want to do things as a team. And I think it was a pretty humbling experience, actually, knowing that if we don't go to every game, turning up, playing how we want to play, then we're not going to win. So could be a little bit of a blessing in disguise, and I know it hurt everybody, but I feel if we take that as a lesson and try not to make it happen again, I'm sure that we'll look back on it and say that that was a pretty big moment in this season.
It might be a little bit weird to say, but is it the kind of defeat you can take a lot from? You know, it can always serve as a reminder of what not to do in certain games.
Yeah, of course. Like I say, it's such a good league now that if you don't come to play every single night, you are going to get beat, as has been shown in the last couple of games against Coventry and people like them and Dundee and things like that. So, like I say, it was humbling, but it was also one of those defeats that was pretty easy to forget. So it and we also had the game on Wednesday, which made it pretty easy to forget because we had to switch our focus straight onto Cardiff coming up. So I think it didn't burn too long in people's minds. We knew we wasn't good enough, and it's never going to be good enough. But then obviously Monday, Tuesday, our thoughts are right back on Cardiff. So It's good. Hockey's good in that way because you can get right back on the horse and get back out there and prove everybody that it was just a blip.
Earlier in this podcast, we spoke to Paul Adey, who was part of the Free Sports team. We spoke after the game last night and I asked him the question if whether or not he thinks the Clan are the real deal in terms of the title race this year. And I'm not going to come out and expect you to say, yeah, we're going to romp away with the title and all that. But with the wins you've got, with the form you've shown, with the displays you've had, can you be considered among one of the top teams this year once everything settles down a bit and we start getting a clearer picture of where we are?
Well, yeah, I think we definitely view ourselves as one of the better teams in the league. We know that it's a very long season, and we've had at the minute is a good start. Nobody's getting too ahead of themselves in that dressing room, which I like. Everyone knows that it's a game by game basis, and all we're trying to do is win the next game. So, yeah, I think it might be a bit too early to say we're definitely going to be challenging for it, but that is definitely an aim of the dressing room, and there's a lot of belief in that room.
Let's look ahead to the weekend. Two games, of course, Fife Flyers on Saturday up in Kirkcaldy, and then a home to the Sheffield Steelers on Sunday. I mentioned at the start that it's going to be a tough weekend. You're a player. How tough is it against those two teams?
Yeah, two quite different games, actually. Fife away is always fun. Everyone always talks about Clan Fife games, and especially away from home, it can be an intimidating place. So boys are looking forward to it. It's one of those games that everyone gets up for. You mark off in your calendar because it's a nice derby game. Every game against them this year has been a close game, but we've been lucky that we've come out on the right side of. So I know they'll be coming for revenge. So we just got to keep going, do what we do. Hopefully we get another 2 points and then right back home to Sheffield on the Sunday, who are right up there with us in the league. And it's a massive 2 points in that game. I know they've got very, very good offense. They've got offense from three or four lines, and they've got offensive D, so it's going to be a well matched game. I think we beat them 4-3 down there, but yeah, like I'm saying, it's a very evenly matched weekend. Actually, it could go either way, so boys are going to be ready for both games.
What do you make of the league as a whole? You've talked about how competitive it is. When you look at the teams and where they are, the difference between, for example, Clan in top and Fife down in 8th place, I think it's something about 8 points now is the difference between the two teams. I've certainly never seen a season like it. What's it like from your point of view?
It's crazy, isn't it? It's absolutely crazy. I was talking to my brother actually and saying, we go on Sunday and get beat by Coventry 9-2, but then we beat Cardiff 6-3 at home on the Wednesday. It's one of them years that everybody's beating everybody, and that's a testament to all the teams' recruitments and the caliber of the league has definitely improved over the years, and it's good to see that teams like us and Fife and Coventry and Guildford and stuff are challenging against these so-called top four teams. You know what I mean? It's nice to see. I think it makes excellent viewing, not just for the fans of our league, but for fans of hockey around Europe and in general.
And it builds nicely when you consider the game last night. Cardiff had a great record coming to Glasgow in previous games. They've been one of the most successful teams in recent years as well, and yet Clan pull off a result against them.
Yeah, I don't think we've beat them in about 4 years in the league, and then we beat them twice out of three times this year. So I don't know if it's just one of those years we seem to get a bit of confidence against them or what, but we seem to match up well. It's a very well contested game. I think the scoreline did maybe flatter us a little bit with the two empty nets against them on Wednesday, but yeah, I think that again, they are a fantastic team, and they just signed a new guy, and I'm pretty sure that they'll be coming back stronger, and I wouldn't want to play them this weekend, that's for sure.
Now, let's talk about something else. The testimonial, of course, and you've made more announcements since we last spoke. Adam Walker's been announced, and just before we started recording this, of course, Jordan Krstanovic is coming back. Great news for certainly older fans of the club who followed the club for a number of years. And you wrote a nice little thing there on Twitter about having Jordan back, how he kind of mentored you a little bit as well, and how he was a first name you thought of when you were getting the testimonial. But now that he's coming, how excited are you to have him over and to see him again?
Oh, I'm super excited. Like I said, obviously the people think that the first names that I was thought of is that it's obviously going to be Keith the Jonesy and Frankie and people like that, because they were successful, but on a personal level, it was important to me to get Jordan over, because as I said on Twitter, he was the first real guy that, you know, when you go to practice and you just look like watch somebody and think, oh, like this is who I want to play like, this is who I want to be like, blah blah blah. Thankfully he must have saw something in me and took me under my wing and under his wing, and was a bit of a mentor for me on and off the ice. He's a fantastic guy. I'm sure you'll agree with me, Craig. He's mm-hmm. He's always one for the fans, always one. Just enjoys life, happy, always happy, smiling. But when it comes to when it came to his career, he was serious, and he obviously a fantastic, fantastic player.
And of course, as I recall, I think he was the first player the Clan signed who had some level of NHL experience as well, which made it all the better when you think back to when he first signed.
Yeah, he had that reputation coming in, so I didn't really know what to expect. Never really played against anybody with NHL experience, or definitely didn't play with anybody with NHL experience, so I didn't know what to expect. Didn't know whether he would come in thinking he was above everything, blah, blah, blah. But no, he came in just this normal, everyday, humble guy, and just had a talent for ice hockey, and he was great to watch, and he was great to play with. So, very thankful that I can call him my friend now.
Good. Now we'll try and catch up with Jordan. We'll hopefully get him on the pod next week. So listen out for that. So in terms of the testimonial, what's coming up? What announcements have you got? Without naming names, of course, don't want to spoil the surprise. But have you got things in place for the next announcements?
Yeah, I got. There's one more flight that I have confirmed. I'm tying up a couple of British guys as well, but all my focus has obviously been sorting the flights, because I don't know if you know this, but hockey guys are a bit of a nightmare to arrange. A lot of them just say, "Oh, just speak to my wife," sort of thing. So yeah, the flights have been a bit stressful, but. Couple more to come, and then obviously a couple more Brits too. So hopefully we get a good little roster finalised and ready to go.
And of course, how's the ticket selling as well? Last I heard, I think they were running about the 2,000 mark. Are we higher than that now?
I'm not sure. I haven't had an update for a while, but I think probably still be around that. Hopefully people start to look for things as Christmas presents and stuff like that. So hopefully, listen, I'm over the moon that we've sold that many tickets. I was worried that I wasn't going to cover the cost of the rink and things. And I'm just eternally grateful for everybody who has bought tickets, and I just can't thank everybody enough.
I'm Matt Stanish, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That was El Capitan, Matt Haywood, getting geared up for the two big weekend games coming up. Speaking of Matt, his testimonial game is coming up, of course, and he made another announcement last week with the news that former teammate Adam Walker will be back to help mark the game in February. Adam, along with Matt, were Brayhead's first two signings announced, other than player coach Bruce Richardson back in 2010, so his association goes back to the very roots of the club. Walker left in 2013 after 3 years, but still attends games when he can, and he's also a player coach with SNL side Paisley Pirates. I took him back to the very start and asked him how his friendship with Matt began.
Really began the first year of the Clan. So we were, it was myself and Matt and Kevin Phillips who were housed together. And Bruce had said to me, he'd come to me and he'd said that there's a young kid that's coming on board and I want you to kind of look after him a little bit and help him along the way. And obviously that person turned out to be Matt. So, but you know, it was a friendship that kind of it grew pretty quickly. You know, and I think living together with your kind of teammates that happens anyway. I'd known Kevin Phillips for a long time because we played in the national team together. So for Matt to come in, you know, with the two of us already having a relationship there. You know, you never know how it's going to be, but he was, you know, he's still the same now as he was back then. You know, kind of easygoing, easy to get on with, you know, friendly guy, and that's kind of how our friendship kind of blossomed.
Now, I think it got mentioned in the Q&A you were involved in back at the start of the season that you and Matt were actually the club's first signings as Bruce Richardson was getting the team together. So what was it like not only being the first signings for what was Brayhead Clan, but young players coming into what was a new franchise?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of I had been in a situation before where I'd come from the EPL and Manchester was kind of starting up the new franchise there. So for me, it was kind of familiar kind of territory, albeit in a different city. So I kind of knew what was, you know, how it was with a new franchise. But I can't really say how it was for Matt, but you know, it can be quite an exciting time because, you know, you don't really know exactly how it's going to go. But I had been to, I think when I was, I'd first signed, or agreed to sign, it was about the end of April time, maybe beginning of May. I was invited to go to like a fans forum with Neil Black and Kirsty in the Glenhill Hotel, and they were going to have like a kind of Q&A session there. And I remember driving through thinking, I'm not really sure how this is going to turn out. And when we got to the room in the Glenhill Hotel, the place was full. And it just kind of amazed me because I thought, you know, considering it's a franchise that, you know, that it's brand new, you know, you don't know how it's going to take off. But to have the room full and people were very nice. And, you know, the Q&A session went well. And that kind of set me up for the summer to think, you know, this has definitely been the right choice for me. And I couldn't wait to get going.
What was your recollections of the early days of being in a team? You had big personalities in there like Kyle Bruce, Mathieu Wattier and Brendan Cook as well. How was that for you guys at that time?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, Brendan had been at Nottingham Panthers beforehand, and he was, you know, a prolific goal scorer. So I spent a bit of time playing on the same line with Brendan, which was really, really good. I learned a lot from him, you know, about a kind of, he was always carried himself in a professional manner. He was always ready to work every day, and that was one of the reasons why he was so successful. But that team we had there actually was a very, very good team. And I think if we were able to keep the majority of those guys together the following season, then I think we could have done really well. But you know, that team was great to play, and we had you know, John Landry, for example, who almost made it back to the NHL from the Elite League, which at that point was a rarity. You know, you don't kind of come to Britain and then go right back and go into it. So, you know, he was a special player. Tim Wedderburn, another defenseman, really special player. And then we had, you know, some good forwards, Dominic Noel, Bobby Chamont, you know, Brendan, Ryan Campbell, people like that, who are very, very good players. So I think that also helped. You know, Kyle Bruce I'd played with before as well. And so I knew what he was about. It was great that we were able to experience two different kind of franchises together. And so that team was very, very good. We had really, really good camaraderie, and I think that kind of helped us to kind of, you know, work out the cracks as a new franchisor and kick on for the season.
Now, back on to the testimonial, of course, it's all about Matt Haywood, and, you know, 9-10 years on, he's still at the club. Mr. Clan, they call him. How has Matt evolved into the captain we have now, known him as well as you do?
Yeah, I mean, Matt, for the years that I was in Brayhead, and obviously being able to keep in touch with him now that I live in Glasgow as well, you know, he's never been a loud person, and he never was a loud person in the room, but he always used to just, you know, put his head down and work hard, and that's the type of person you are. And you tend to find that some, you know, there's two types of leaders, the type of leaders who are quite vocal and they like to motivate, and then you have the other leaders who are just quiet and they lead by example on the ice, and that's the type of leader that Matt is. And I think that, you know, that resonates with the fans as well. They see him as a hard-working player who gives it his all every shift. And then I think, you know, when he's named captain, and that's why the fans really, really thought that that would be a great choice. And I think it's a great choice. I think for, you know, it kind of all falls into place with it being his testimonial year, you know, 10th year with the franchise, that it seems right that he would be given an honour to be the captain there.
How much of a testament is it to him when you see the various coaches that have come and gone through the years, starting out with Bruce Richardson, as I mentioned, Drew Bannister, all the way through to Pete Russell last year, Zach Fitzgerald now, that Matt is still there, he's still at the core of that team?
Yeah, it's a great testament. And I think if you were to ask Matt, he would tell you that he loves the club, and that he has done kind of since the first season that he's got here. Obviously, you go through ups and downs, and, you know, along the way and bumps in the road. But, you know, for him to have stuck around for 10 years and shown that loyalty towards the club, and for him to be able to go through the numerous coaches that the Clan have had. I mean, obviously, every coach that comes in, you know, sees Matt and they see him as an asset, because if they didn't see him as an asset, then he wouldn't still be there. You know, they'd have other players that would come in and go. But for Matt to be around for the 10 years is a testament to how his style of play and the type of player that he is and what he can bring to a hockey club.
Now it's time to give you a right of reply over an accusation that Sam Zajac made about you and Matt last week regarding your musical taste. And Sam referred to both of you having a say in having Spice Girls on there, Steps and Five and all that kind of music, 90s sort of pop music. What do you say to that? Any truth in it?
This was Sam that said this.
This was Sam, yep.
yeah, I mean, I can't confirm or deny the rumours that he's putting out there. But no, I mean, we do, you know, Matt and I love, we've got a lot of similar interests in and we do love a bit of cheesy music every now and again. So he's it's definitely something that that we have in common. So I mean, I'm a '90s kid, so anything '90s I quite like. And I think my first concert was a Spice Girls concert, and I'm sure Matt would have loved to have been there with me. But he's a little bit younger than I am, so he I don't think he had that chance.
As a Girls Aloud fan, I can hear that. Anyway, how does it? Next one. How does it feel to be asked to take part in the game? Of course, it's a big thing. Anybody I've spoke to says it's a great honour to be asked. It shows you how highly they're thought of by Matt to be asked to be involved. What was it like for you to get that invitation?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, Matt knows how much that I love the Clan. You know, I mean, when I was there, I had three fantastic years there. So it's a real thrill to come back and play in front of the fans again. You know, albeit it's not in a competitive scenario, but but for Matt's testimonial, it's great, and I'm honoured that he's asked me to come back. I think that you know, there's a lot of great players that have been around in the Clan's history. So for him to choose me, you know, I am honoured, and I'm really excited about the game in February and being able to meet up with hopefully a few old teammates and obviously, you know, past Clan Hall of Famers on the wall and a couple of others. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I must admit, I'm liking the fact he's picking players from across the years, not just focusing on one particular era. The likes of you and Sammy come in from the early stages, Kyle Jones, Ryan Finnerty, Matt Keith a bit later on as well. It's good that he's doing that. He's bridging that kind of those eras together.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I don't know if it's maybe his plan to do that, but I think if you look at Clan teams, you know, that pretty much since it started, with maybe the exception of one year, that they've been relatively successful and competitive teams. You know, there hasn't been a team where they've really just not got together and not gelled together. There's always been kind of standout players in the Clan's team, and I think since the franchise started, that's kind of the way that it's set out to go. Is they, you know, they want players who are impact players, and they want players who make a difference. And you know, for my first 2 years, you know, all three goalies that we had in the first four goalies that we had in the first 2 years, you know, any of them were, you know, standout goalies in the league. And so I think that kind of peaks through. But yeah, no, I think it's good. Like I said, I don't know if that's his plan, if he wants to kind of, you know, mix it up throughout the years, or if it's just genuinely that, you know, the players that he feels that he's had, you know, a connection with or what have you, or that the fans have had a connection with. But, you know, the way it's worked out, I think it's great.
Now, anybody I'm speaking to about this game, especially guys that we've not seen for a while, I always ask them about how excited they are to be coming back to Brayhead Arena. Mm. You're a bit different. You've never really gone away. You're involved with the Paisley Pirates right now. How's life there for you?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, it's a little different now. When I stopped playing professionally, I moved into coaching, which is something I was really passionate about, something that I wanted to do. I wanted to give back to younger players and to help them out, because I got a fair bit of help when I was younger. But you know, you see things and you learn things along the way as you play that you think, maybe I wish I'd known that before, you know, at that stage of my career. So coming back to Paisley was kind of an automatic choice, really, because, you know, I live in Glasgow with my wife now, and it's a great city, and like I said, Brayhead Arena is a great venue. So along with Paisley Pirates, you know, they've got a great tradition themselves. You know, having been in the Lagoon Centre for a long time, and now obviously with that not being there, they've moved into Brayhead. But it was nice to be asked by Ian Tully and the management there to come and help out. And that's something that I'm really happy to do, and I'm continuing to enjoy it now. I think I'm into my third year now, so I really am enjoying giving something back.
And finally, just to wrap things up, I'm going to ask you, if I, you know, mentioning Matt Haywood's name to you, what's the first thing that springs to mind whenever you think of Matt? I've had a couple of different answers. I want to see what you're going to say.
Well, the first thing I want to say is cheap, because that's what he called me in an interview last year, but I can't say he's definitely not a cheap guy. No, I think, you know, down to earth is probably how I'd describe Matt. He's, like I said, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't like anything flashy. He's a really down to earth guy. You know, he's got a great family. His parents are fantastic to speak to if you've ever spoken to them. And his brother is a nice guy as well. So. They're a real down-to-earth family, but Matty's always been one to just kind of take things as they come. And I think that's, you know, there's not many better attributes you can ask for than that.
And are his grand sandwiches as good as we've been led to believe?
Fantastic, actually, yeah. I had the pleasure of a couple of them on a few road trips. But yeah, absolutely. I would definitely recommend them to a friend.
Hi, I'm Matt Poofall, and you're listening to The Clan Chat.
Adam Walker looking ahead to his participation in Matt Haywood's testimonial game in February. The end is nigh for us on Clan Chat. We've got some time to bring you the answer to the Clan Conundrum, and we ask you, how many points did Brendan Connolly pick up against the Sheffield Steelers while playing for Glasgow Clan last season? The answer is 11, as Connolly scored 4 times and assisted in 7 in the games against Paul Thompson and Tom Barrasso's side last season. Look out for another Clan Conundrum next time.
Hey, this is Matt Haywood, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That's us for this edition, so just time to remind you to buy tickets for Sunday's game against the Sheffield Steelers. Face off at 4:30 p.m, so get those via the Clan website, clanihc.com. Tickets are also still on sale for Matt Haywood's testimonial on Tuesday the 4th of February, and you'll get those on Ticketmaster, but make sure you get yours soon, as they are selling well. For the latest news around the club, check out the website, or if you haven't yet, don't forget to like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Audioboom, and the newest episode will download automatically to your device. Please leave a review as well and tell us what you want to hear, or generally what you think. All feedback is welcomed. My thanks to Kevin McCoskrey, Matt Haywood, Aaron Murphy, Paul Adey, Chris Ellis and Adam Walker for taking the time to talk to us this week. And of course, thanks to producer Stuart Priest for his sterling work. My biggest thanks are also reserved for you, for listening and downloading, and we'll be back soon for more from around the Glasgow Clan. I'm Craig Anderson. Bye for now.